evening, and welcome to Radio PRS. I'm your co-host, Mike Ranton. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, demonstrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the field of arts. We are here for anyone who is interested in exploring the subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. Our guest this evening is author and truth coach Matthew Gaines. You can call in and talk with Matthew and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Now here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
Good, how are you?
I am fabulous. It's been a gorgeous day here in Kansas City, a beautiful fall day. I think it was 72 degrees here in Belton where we're at. And, it's just beautiful. It's perfect weather. I couldn't ask for more, especially considering my birthday is tomorrow. Yay! Happy early birthday to me. And for those of you who are wondering, and this is a little bit of an obscure reference, it's somewhat obscure, I will be the answer to life, the universe, and everything. And I'll let you figure out what that means. I'll give you a hint. If you've read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know what it is. So then you'll know how old I'll be. I'm very excited about our guest tonight. Our guest tonight is actually a new resident here in the Kansas City area. And I want to welcome Matthew to the show. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you very much for having me on tonight.
Oh, I'm so, so happy to have you here with us, and I'm very happy to talk about truth coaching and about the book that you have out, Truth for Inner Peace. I'm so excited about this, and I'm really happy to kind of give you a belated welcome to the Kansas City area. You come to us from Western Massachusetts, am I correct?
That is correct. I lived in Western Massachusetts my entire life. Well, not my entire life yet, but up until this point.
Thus far. Up until this point in your life, yes. Oh, so before we get into talking about truth coaching and what that is and what it entails, tell me, if you would, please, about you, about your journey thus far and how you found yourself at this point in your own spiritual path.
Okay. Well, like we said, I've born and raised in Western Massachusetts, lived there forever. I've been a retail manager for 30-plus years. I've run a hardware store. I ran a rental company. I worked for a furniture store, spent a little time as a supervisor for Delta Airlines, and then ran a Blockbuster till they went out of business. And my last management job was running a Starbucks. And I think what really kicked in was probably about 8 years ago. I met a friend who was a Reiki master and who had been a cancer survivor, which I am also. So we kind of had that in common. And I found that her philosophy, the way she dealt with life was really appealing. So I started getting into Reiki and meditating every day and really sort of changing the way I looked at things personally while still existing in the real world and still going to my job and doing my hours and making my money and all that. And what I found was as the more I got into the Reiki and the more I got into the meditating, the more calm I became, the more laid back I became, and the more happy I became overall. I also noticed that while I was doing meditation, I started getting ideas, thoughts, messages, I guess is what you would call them, during my meditations. And so when I came out of them, I would be all excited and I'd write them down on whatever scrap of paper was nearby. And after a few months, I had this big pile of miscellaneous scraps of paper. And I thought, you know, geez, I really need to organize this stuff. So I did, and I put it all on my laptop, and it sat there for a long time. And a couple of years went by, and I was still meditating, and I was actually starting to part-time teach meditation classes and doing Reiki on people, you know, just kind of getting my feet wet in that area while still maintaining my job. And the idea sort of came to me that, you know what, maybe all of this stuff that I'm writing down could be a book someday. Just really a collection of ideas and truths and thoughts that weren't just helping me but might be able to help others. I found that I was actually using them in conversations with people. So the idea to make it a book came about, and again, that just didn't happen. I kept putting it off. I always had something else to do. I had work to do. And finally, what really changed everything was my last job. I hated it. I found that I was good at it. I still went to work every day. I still dealt with the people and, you know, answered to corporate. And I found myself despising that part of my life. And on the other side of my life, I was giving people all kinds of advice and helping them through traumas and helping them through career catastrophes and all this stuff. And it was time to start practicing what I preached. So I sat down and I started looking at what part of my life was making me happy and what part of it wasn't making me happy and why both of those things were true. And I finally decided that I couldn't continue 40-plus hours a week, every single week, being miserable. So I walked away. I just couldn't do it any longer. And I had no job, and I had no income, and I was, like, never happier in my life. I didn't have any idea what was coming. I had faith in the universe taking care of me. I had faith in myself to figure it out, and I was going forward. And it was then that I said, you know what? The book doesn't need to be an idea any longer. It needs to be an action. And I put a plan in place that I would have a book in my hands within 2 months. And I started taking, I made a list of steps that I could make, and I started researching publishing, and I started asking friends on Facebook that I knew had written books for advice, and within 6 weeks, I had a book in my hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was incredible. And I started selling it myself. I sold it, you know, to my friends and my family and figured, you know what, if that's all that ever comes of it, so what? At least I wrote a book. And then it started doing really, really well. And it got to the point where I was ordering it more frequently and I was shipping them out every week, and it really became an exciting thing. And then from there, the whole Kansas City move was kind of the universe just giving me a kick in the butt. I actually was on a road trip with a friend. I had a friend that was moving to New Mexico, and she said, hey, you're not working, you got free time, you want to help me and carpool and, you know, keep me company and all that. So I said, sure, why not? And I have a friend here in Kansas City, an amazing woman named Karen, who said, hey, we're halfway. Russ and I will give you a place to stay if you want to hang out and take a break. So we decided that would be, you know, good timing, and we came to Kansas City, and Karen showed us around the city. I absolutely fell in love with Kansas City. It's just an amazing place.
Aww.
And then she took us to Unity Village, where she does yoga, and the energy there blew my mind. I mean, and this was...
It is amazing. It is an amazing place. That's my spiritual home. It does just kind of blow your mind.
Yeah, it was really incredible. And the thing is, it was spring. It was like there were no fountains, there were no roses. It was still cool out, but it still just grabbed me. So the road trip got over. I went back to Massachusetts, and I found myself homesick for a place that I had never lived before.
Wow. Wow.
So I started the ball rolling, and Karen and Russ told me, hey, if you want to come out here, you've got a place to crash until you find a place of your own. And I literally sold everything that didn't fit in my pickup truck and drove across the country.
Wow. Talk about a leap of faith. I mean, that takes a lot of courage. I have to say, that really does.
It's an amazing thing, and I haven't regretted a moment of it. Every single day I'm thankful to the universe, to myself, for being, brave enough to make that leap. I've had friends say to me, how could you walk away from all you had? Well, the truth is I didn't walk. I ran and I jumped off that cliff. I just had to. because I knew that my happiness was way more important than any job.
Wow. That kind of leads us to that whole topic of a truth. And that's actually something that I've told my girls who are both in college right now, who occasionally go, well, what if what I've chosen to do with my life isn't going to be lucrative? Or I said, you know what? You're going to do what you do for over two-thirds of your waking life. You should love it. You should love what you do because it's such a part of who you are.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And you know what? Some people love going to the corporate office every day and telling people what to do and answering to somebody. And some people just thrive in that, and that's wonderful. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Those aren't the people that really need my help.
Very true.
It's the ones that are constantly, the people that are constantly thinking, is this all there is? And why do I continue to do this every day? Why am I miserable every day? Why am I always angry about this? Why am I always sad about this?
Yeah. You know, I've always said, I've always had a saying of, if you're going to jump out of the airplane, don't use a parachute because that's cheating. I don't mean literally, obviously, but because you probably do need the parachute when you're jumping out of a real airplane. But
that's a pretty serious leap of faith right there.
It really is. It is, definitely.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just inspiring to see that you have not only started, you were coming into your own truth over that period of time of learning and growing with Reiki and with meditation, and it seems that from the way you describe it, that slowly but surely truth for you was just opening up, and at some point you had to live it. You just had to.
Yeah, that's really what it came down to. And the amazing part of all of this journey for me is that it gets better and better and better every single day. Nikki, I came up here with two intentions, and that was it. I had no expectations whatsoever, but I had two intentions. I wanted to work at Unity Village somewhere. I didn't care where. It didn't matter to me even if I was mowing lawns. I just wanted to work at the village. And I wanted to establish myself in the area, doing Reiki for people, doing some coaching for people, teaching meditation if I could, all of that stuff. And, Nikki, I work at Unity Village in the bookstore, and I've already started getting clients over the last 2 months.
That's amazing. And that's, I got to say right now, I'm just going to tell everybody out there, that's a great bookstore at Unity Village. Let me tell you right now, that is a wonderful resource for anyone of any spiritual path that I've found, not just any more mainstream path, but for those who are of a more alternative mind. It's an excellent resource, whether it be literature or music or little things that you're looking for like an interesting little metaphysical gift ideas and everything. It really is a great place. I love it.
Yeah, it's kind of an unknown diamond in the rough in the area. I get people in the store all the time that, you know, that have grown up in Lee Summit and have never been there. You know, they drive by that big tower on 50 Highway all the time, but nope, they don't stop in, and they really should. I'm not trying to plug the store, but
that's okay. That's plug away. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that you've, you know, coming into it, I think, with intention as opposed to expectation is that I think makes all the difference. This is what I intend, and this is what I'm going to work towards. It's almost like you said, this goal for yourself, and knowing the truth of who and what you are, being a big part of that, the universe says, yeah, it's yours, man.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, and this is really challenging for somebody sometimes. I know it was for me. Finding out the truth of who and what you are is really the key, but it can be scary. I mean, I found out some stuff, I don't want to say I found out, because you always kind of know what is in you and what is a part of you. And quite often, the stuff that we don't like, we kind of push it away. We kind of bury it if we can. So we all know it's there, but we don't like to admit it. When you actually grab hold of that and say, you know what, damn it, that's part of me. And I need to either figure out how to make that work in my favor or how to fix it. One of the biggest things for me, my entire life, as good as I was at any job that I had, and I was good, I am a procrastinator. And I feel like I'm standing up front waiting for my 3-month chip or something, but I am Matthew and I'm a procrastinator. And when I finally admitted that to myself and realized that that was a truth that had existed most of my life, all of a sudden I was like, well, what do I do to fix that? And that's when I started getting into, okay, how do we turn that that little bit of inspiration I had into action? And it takes baby steps. It takes getting some small stuff done so that you sort of gain your confidence. Even if it's something as simple as, you know what, I never clean my office. Well, you know what, start with one side of your desk. It may seem like a small thing, but when you get done, that's not on your list anymore. Now you can cross it off and you can do one more small thing. And the more you do that, the more it eliminates all the chaos and all the overwhelming feelings that you experience and gives you the opportunity to really focus on some of the bigger stuff.
That is very true, and I also find that it tends to lend itself to what oftentimes we don't experience much when we're procrastinating, because we're procrastinating, is a sense of accomplishment. And even just accomplishing that small portion of the task, you go, hey, man, look what I did. and you have every right to be proud of that achievement.
Absolutely. You need to celebrate that stuff. People say, oh, it's no big deal, this is all I did. Don't ever say, this is all I did. Enjoy what you did, relish what you did, and celebrate what you did. And it may seem simple and small and silly to everybody else, but you know what? It's not their universe. It's yours.
So true, so true. And you know, we're going to use that word a lot tonight because we are going to be talking about the truth coaching, and I'd like to get into that. Now, now we've had life coaches on before. What are the similarities and differences between truth coaching and life coaching, or is truth coaching kind of an aspect of that?
I look at it as kind of a prequel. And the way I say that is life coaching is a life coach gives guidance to a client who needs to improve, like, their careers, their relationships, or their lives in general. They help people sort of recognize their skills. They help people focus on their goals and move past whatever challenges might stand in their way. And that's a great thing. And truth coaching becomes a part of that. But with the truth coaching, we try to dig a little deeper. What I try to do is try to help my clients discover what their actual truths are, the sources of the challenges that they have, or the strengths that they possess. And then we sort of put a plan in place to begin changing the way they think and the way they act, and to move forward in a positive and more fulfilling manner. It's kind of like the difference between treating a symptom and actually finding a cure. You know, you can treat the symptoms of a cold, but wouldn't it be great if we could find a cure? You can put a Band-Aid on a cut every time you cut your finger, but really the smart thing to do is to learn the right way to use a knife.
Yes, or if someone, and I believe the president was one of them, for once famously said, yeah, you keep beating your head against the wall. Eventually, don't you stop and go, ow, that hurts, I shouldn't do that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And truth coaching sort of digs in there and says, well, why am I beating my head against the wall in the first place? Why am I doing this? You know, I respect life coaches. I absolutely, and truth coaching is definitely a part of that. But for me, it's all about digging that little bit deeper and finding out those personal things that are true for you. A lot, you know, I can't tell you how many times people say, and you've probably heard it, who knows, maybe, you know, you've even said it, oh, my God, the whole world's out to get me, or everything always seems to go wrong for me. Well, that's not
I've heard
true.
That a lot from people.
Yeah, and it's not true.
It really isn't true, and it's the fallacy of Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
The whatever can go wrong will go wrong. And if you believe
right.
it, then, that's what you're going to attract, and that's what's going to happen to you.
Right, and I don't know.
You give it power, and it... Go ahead, I'm sorry. Are you there, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I lose you? Oh, there
Hello?
You are. There you are. We just lost you for a brief second. Sorry about that.
No, sorry. That's okay. What I was saying was the exact opposite is true as well. Whatever can go right will go right.
Yes.
And it's all about believing in that and really having faith in that. You know, every decade has its thing, whether it's the power of positive thinking or the secret or, you know, whatever they want to call it. Now it's kind of referred to as manifesting. When you start to sort of understand where your truths are, where your strengths are, where your true weaknesses are, and how you can use your strengths and sort of deal with those weaknesses and perhaps eliminate them completely, you start to understand what manifesting is all about, and really just believing in yourself and believing that the universe has got your back, and all of a sudden all these things start happening for you. And then you're grateful for it, and you start to believe it. And the cool thing about believing is you become better at it, and you become more confident at it. And as you become better and more confident, more stuff starts happening.
Oh, that is so true. And, you know, I find that belief inspires action. Because once you find that belief that, yes, I can accomplish this and I can do this, you are inspired to move forward with it, because along with those truths comes the realization that we are not meant to be inert beings. We're not meant to sit there and we are energy, and energy is meant to move, and it's meant to keep going forward and pick up momentum as it goes, which I think your story
Absolutely.
In and of itself illustrates beautifully, you know, that you developed this confidence over this period of time, recognized your own truth, took that leap of faith, and the universe opened up that abundance and just is just pouring it on.
Oh, my goodness. It blows my mind, and I am so grateful. Every day when I get in my truck, I don't even turn on the radio. I just talk to the universe. I let the universe know how grateful I am for everything that's been laid before me, and I just say, what's next? You know, what have you got coming? Because I'm ready. I'm ready for anything. One of the cool things about my story and about coming out here is that I started before I even left Massachusetts. I started reaching out to people through Facebook in the Kansas City area. Just, hey, I don't know you, but let's be friends. Let's talk. You've got a similar lifestyle. You've got a similar thought pattern. You're into similar groups, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, I had this sort of base of people that I had never met in my life but not only was I excited to meet them, but they were excited to meet me. I had people that I've never met saying, when you get out here, let me know. I've got a love seat you can use in your new place, or I'll help you move, whatever it might be. We'll get together for lunch. And I'm just meeting all these people that I've never met in my life, and it's been absolutely incredible. And the contacts that I've made and the networking that's created through this whole thing has just blown my mind. And in the Midwest of all places, just holy cow, you know?
Oh, I know. You know, I'll tell you, the thing that I love about Kansas City in particular, but it's a lot in the Midwest, there's a lot of it in the Midwest, is we have a thriving metaphysical community. We really do.
Yeah.
And people from either further east or further west oftentimes don't consider that. I found it a lot, particularly when I went to the West Coast. God bless them.
Yeah,
I love them.
Yeah.
I love it out there dearly. I love California, Oregon, Washington. I love it all. But frequently they go, you're from Kansas City? What's in Kansas City? They have a metaphysical community in Kansas City. They have people who are more progressive minded in the area of metaphysics. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
and we really do. And it's not just Kansas City. It's Des Moines. It's Wichita. It's down in Tulsa. There's a thriving metaphysical community in southern Missouri and Arkansas, even in Texas. I mean, all over the place. And you know what it shows to me is that these universal truths really are universal, and that human beings in general are in a pattern of spiritual evolution.
Absolutely. It's got to be the next step.
Totally. Totally.
You know, we've been through the physical evolution. We've been through the industry and the technology and all that stuff. And all that stuff is great. It's good to have heat in your house. It's it's good to have doctors to take care of us. But the next step, with the way the world is going, the next step has to be spiritual, because it's the only way we're going to figure out how to fix the problems that really exist in the world.
So true. That is so true. I use that phrase so much, and I find it poignant and yet kind of humorous for our topic tonight. But yeah, it really is. It's essential for us to move forward to the next phase of what it means to be spiritual beings living a human existence. We have to share this world, and there's 7 billion of us, which is more than there ever has been at any point in human history. And we have elements of resistance, because you always have that when you're having a time of transition. It's just the way it goes.
Sure.
But in general, I think we're starting to figure it out. I really do.
I think so, too. I think so, too, and I see it more and more. You know, I don't want to say that where I came from wasn't enlightened, because I got to tell you, there was an amazing group of people that I was a part of, and that we all reached out to each other, and it was a great community. The problem that I ran into in Western Mass with the Reiki and the meditation and whatnot and the coaching was that there were so many of us and not enough people that were ready to grab onto it yet. You know, it was the client base just wasn't there yet. And I've got friends back there that are very successful doing Reiki or doing readings or teaching classes, and they're doing a great job. And I've worked with a lot of them, and I miss them dearly. But coming out here, it blows my mind how much is still out there, and how many more people there are that are going, oh yeah, I've heard of that. Let me set up a session with you, because I'm interested in getting some Reiki, or I really want to spend some more time meditating. Can you help me with that? And it's just blowing my mind. People are coming to me. I don't really work that hard to get these clients. They're just showing up.
Yeah, and it's so. I've noticed that myself as a reader and as a Reiki master. I've noticed the same thing. I don't have to look for clients. I think people are moving towards a pattern and a pathway of being more spirit-led.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And the other cool thing I like about this area is that the practitioners, the Reiki people, the meditation people, even the coaches, it's not a competition to them. If they get to know you and they just embrace you, then they're referring people, you know, which...
Yeah, definitely.
This is a business. This is how we make our living. This is how we make our money. But still, you know what? This person, I don't have what's right for them, but I think you do. So I'm going to send them to you. And I get referrals all the time. And it's just, it's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And actually, I was talking with a future guest on the show about this very thing today. And we were talking about how a few decades ago, there was more of a sense of competition in the community.
Yep.
But it seems to be that the community as a whole has really started to embrace abundance consciousness. There's enough of everything for all of us. There's enough people who need our help, and that's why we're really in this to begin with.
That's one of our truths. That's one of our truths, though.
Yes, it is.
When we as a group of practitioners, let's say, see the truth as we're really in this to help people, yes, we need to make money at it, but ultimately, that's not why we're here. If we were in this just to make money, we should be doing something else.
Exactly. And yeah, we have to pay our bills.
That's absolutely
a truth of just being existing on a human level. It's you have to survive. But yeah, I think that's and I think it's not just true in this community. I've noticed it across communities of different, not just metaphysical, but I've noticed in different businesses and certain, not just smaller businesses, but now I've noticed more larger corporations starting to go, all right, this our motivation doesn't need to be greed. Our motivation needs to be more, well, like for certain restaurant chains who are starting to go local and organic and trying to focus more on the healthy options that they offer their customers. And I don't think it's just motivated by profit. I mean, it might be in some cases. I could be wrong. But I do think that it's a trend towards we got to share this planet and we all want to be on it for as long as possible and do what we can to live happy and healthy lives and help each other
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, I agree. It's a funny thing when you realize that doing the right thing, making the right decisions, and really making an effort to help others somehow works out good in the end.
Yes.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, an early example of that is the gentleman who developed the polio vaccine, who worked for 7 years on that vaccine because polio is a horrible disease. It still ravages a lot of the world. But when he put that vaccine out there, there was no patent, and he did it
right.
for the good of humanity. And
yeah.
what's awesome about this down the road, we recently had this ridiculous scandal of a CEO of a major pharmaceutical company buy a life-saving, the patent on a life-saving medication for AIDS and cancer patients, and then up the
yeah.
cost by 5,500%. Well, the internet and a couple of choice politicians forced his hand,
yep.
and he
yep.
had to drop the price back down. Because
yeah.
we as a society said, we're not going to put up with that. We're not going to let you do something that's motivated by greed and deliberately harm people who need this to survive. And
correct.
That's inspiring
correct.
To me. It's inspiring.
It is. It is. We need more of that in a lot more areas.
Totally. And I think there's a time that, you know, about 30 years ago probably, that I don't think that we wouldn't have had that reaction. First of all, we wouldn't have had the internet to mobilize the reaction.
Correct.
Which I honestly, I love social media and what it can accomplish. I realize that there are problems with it like there is with anything else in life. But in general, it can be used to such massive good, and that's just one of the recent examples.
Well, that's another, I mean, to get back to certain truths, I mean, if you
yeah.
are using social media for negative reasons, it's going to create a firestorm of negative effects. Where if you're
yeah.
in it for good and for getting a message across or reaching out to people or just sharing love every once in a while, it's amazing what comes back to you.
Yes, it is. It truly is. I want to remind our listeners that you can call in this evening and chat with us about truth coaching. It is the number 646-668-8212. We are talking with Matthew Gaines, and we are having a wonderful conversation. I am absolutely loving it.
Good.
I get to talk
so
to the coolest people. I really get to talk to the coolest people every week. I have the coolest gig here. Because I just get to get on the phone and have great conversations.
that's awesome.
And that's fun. It's funny. You know, you learn and you grow. And I think that that the information that, like, for example, that we're talking about tonight, there's so many people that haven't heard of truth coaching and
correct.
Are like, what's that? What can I expect? So talk to me a little bit about your process for truth coaching. When you work with a client, what's the process that you start out with, say, if you for the first time you're working with a client?
Typically the first time I work with somebody, it's usually, I sort of do one-hour sessions, but typically the first time is an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. Because it really is a lot. The first part of it is really kind of me letting them download, letting them just tell me what's going on in their life. And I listen to not just what they're saying, but how they're saying it and how often they say it. And typically I'll hear like a lot of negatives, like this always goes wrong for me, or my kids hate me, or, you know, this job is just, it sucks, but I have to stay at it. And I hear a lot of, I can't, I never, I won't, I shouldn't, and all these negatives. And I give them some time to get that out of their system. And then I stop them and I say, okay, look, I'm going to come back to you and I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm hearing from you. You may not like it, but that's too bad because that's what I'm hearing. And I will say
yeah.
very honestly, this is what you're telling me. You're telling me you can't do anything wrong. And guess what? You own that now. You're telling me that your job sucks and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, you know what? You're owning that too. So you're actually, your thoughts and your words are creating your situation. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's a fact. It's the truth. You're stuck in it. You're wallowing in it. And if that's where you want to be, great. You really don't need me. But if you don't want to be there anymore, then we need to start thinking about how we're going to change it. And then we start, and then as they're speaking to me, as we have a conversation, every time a negative comes out, I remind them, how could we say something like that differently? Like, oh, I don't know. I went through a difficult divorce. Okay. Oh, he was a jerk. He did this and he did that. Okay. Well, how long were you married? Well, I was married 30 years. Okay. Well, he wasn't a jerk the whole 30 years. Maybe he was, but in most cases not. So there was a point when you loved, there was a point when you loved him. There was a point when you cared about him. There was a point when you agreed to marry him, you know, and tell me about those times and kind of get them sort of changing some of their thinking back to the positive a little bit. And then we start talking about how do we say something that feels so negative to us in a positive way. And it sort of becomes lessened. You know, there are, yeah, there are negative things in the world, but do we accept them as negative and just keep them that way and hold that energy? Or do we look at them and see what we learned from that? Well, what did I learn from that bad relationship? Well, you know what I learned? I don't ever want to be with a cheater again. You know, I don't ever want to be with somebody who verbally abuses me again. I know that I don't want that in my life. Okay, well then even though...
Oh, I think you've cut out on us again. Let's see if we can get you back here.
Hello?
Ah, there you are.
Hello?
There you are.
Hi. Okay, I don't know where I cut out, but...
Well, we were talking about I don't ever want to be in that type of relationship again, whether it be verbal
abuse.
Yeah,
so really sort of taking things as a lesson, whatever it might be. Well, I got fired from my job. Okay, well, what happened? What caused the firing part? How did, and, of course, everybody's a victim. But ultimately accepting responsibility for whatever it might be. You know, and then saying, okay, well, what did you learn from that? So instead of this was a terrible thing that happened to me, it becomes this is what I learned from all that, and I know that I don't want to experience that any longer. And when you start thinking differently and turning it into more positive ways of saying things, then all of a sudden your actions change too. And it starts with baby steps sometimes. Sometimes people have been wallowed in some negativity for such a very long time that they don't know anything else. And that's fair and that's valid. And I'm not trying to belittle anybody's experiences, but there are ways to get out of that. And sometimes it'll take baby steps. Sometimes it'll take something as simple, like I said before, of just cleaning one side of the desk or just making sure the dishes are loaded or whatever it might be. Get those few things off your list and start gaining some confidence back.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I tend to find that a lot of that negativity, frequently when I'm working with people, can be traced back to those old tapes from childhood that play over and over in your head, to where, as a Western society for so long, and oftentimes this is still the case, we're taught, you don't deserve this, you have to earn it. You don't deserve good, you have to earn your good. You don't deserve the love, you have to earn the love. It's contradictory to what we're born knowing. If you ever watch small children at play, and, you know, it's like, for example, hatred is not natural. It's something that we have to learn, because we're born knowing that we're all love. If you ever watch little kids, they just absolutely, they love. Yeah, they get on each other's nerves sometimes, just because that's part of the human condition. But in general, they're just big balls of loving energy.
They are.
Has yet to be corrupted by mainstream society.
No, you're absolutely right. And we are taught certain things. First of all, we're given limitations very early in life, especially those of us in like the metaphysical aspects. You know, children are very intuitive, and parents are constantly, no, that's not real, that's imaginary, don't talk about that in front of people. Okay, well, we're now just corking up all that intuitive power that these kids have. that is either going to explode one day or it's just going to be buried forever. And that's a sad thing.
Yeah.
And we're doing it with almost every aspect of our lives. We're creating all these limitations on ourselves with not just intuition, but with love and with caring about people. What is wrong with hugging somebody? You know,
yeah.
That's a wonderful feeling. When I hug people, my friends know me. When I hug somebody, I hang on just long enough for it to be a little bit awkward. And
you would become my youngest daughter's best friend very quickly.
I think hugging is amazing. And just somebody saying, go ahead and share my energy for a minute, you know, and just feeling that amazing just rush of power through you. And I always hold on just a little bit longer. And some of my friends joke with me. They'll say, is this the awkward spot? Yeah, this is it. Hold on. Okay.
I can totally relate to that. My youngest daughter is a person with autism, and as opposed to having more of the touch, the discomfort with being touched, she's kind of the opposite. She needs to hug everyone. It gives her such a great sense of security. And
yeah.
There have been times when you have to respect people's personal space when they want you to, you know.
Yeah.
And it's been something that she's had to learn, but in general, I feel so happy for her when she finds and makes connections with those friends and loved ones who are like, yes, please, hug me. I need all the hugs I can get. And
well,
you can see her calm and see her, and the other people as well. It's not just her. You can just see the calmness and the joy and the peace and the security.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Even just in the aura around the hugging.
yeah. And what an amazing truth for her.
Yeah, it really is.
And
if anybody knows their own truth, it's Emily.
Yeah, and couldn't we all learn something from that? I tell you what, bring her by the store. I'd love to hug her.
Oh, definitely. Well, she's off in college right now, but they'll be home in a couple of weeks,
okay.
So I'll do that. I'll do
all
that.
Right.
I'll bring her
good.
By.
Good. Good. You know, it's funny. We bring up the hugging thing, and just I don't want to get too far off track, but I was at the Renaissance Fair last weekend, and there was a gentleman walking around in full costume. He was filthy, dirty, dreads, just nasty, all kinds of makeup on to make him look disgustingly dirty, loincloth, dirty sandals, and he was carrying this beat-up cardboard sign that said free hugs, and I just could not wait to walk over to him and give him a big one. And he just made this fun noise and scampered off. But what I noticed was very few people hugging him. And even though you're at the Renaissance Fair and you know he's in character, it's still a statement
that many
people
truly is.
Don't understand what some of the truths in life are, and one of them is human contact. It's love.
Yes, yes. And that is, and yeah, it's not the only way, but it is one of the major ways that we connect as human beings, not just on that physical level of the hug, but on an emotional level. And so many things happen when a hug happens. The walls, you can just see the walls come down.
Yeah.
You know, you really can. And if we could bring down more of those walls that exist that we've built up between us as humans, imagine how much more peaceful and loving and happy we could make this entire world.
Oh, my God. The whole thing would be great. So here we are solving world peace right on a radio show.
There you go. We need more hugs.
We're doing it. Yeah.
Well, you know,
and
you talk about not just the hugging, but the first thing that came to my mind was how frequently, you said, you know, on multiple levels in society, we squelch so much of what's natural to us. And one of the things that came to my mind is the creativity that we try to curb by, for example, and nothing against coloring inside the lines, but making children color in the lines drives me crazy.
Yeah.
What a way to say you have to conform. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. And one of the big things that we squelch is self-love. And that kind of brings me back to the truth coaching thing, because one of the big things that I want every single one of my clients to walk away from me with is loving themselves more. People are taught that caring about yourself first is selfish, that, you know, you should never put yourself above another. And you know what? There are definitions of that where that can make sense. But ultimately, you're not explaining that to these children growing up.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And I think that in many different faiths, it's said in many different ways. I'm going to go back to the Christianity way of explaining it because that's what I grew up with. And it was, the golden rule says basically that you got to treat other people the way you would want to be treated. But most people think of that, they don't think of the second part.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think of, well, then how do I want to be treated? How do I deserve to be treated? You can take it backwards, you know. You can go, okay, I should treat myself, you know, with respect. If I want to treat others with respect and I want to treat them the way I want to be treated, how do I want to be treated too? And so it is the golden rule in and of itself. It works both ways. It's not just for how you treat other people. It's for how you treat yourself.
No, you're absolutely right. And one of the keys to any healthy relationship of any kind, even if it's not a loving romantic relationship, but a friendship or a relationship with your child or a relationship with a coworker, if you don't love yourself, if you are not your own best friend, then you have nothing to bring to the table. You cannot actually share anything because you don't understand it yet. You know, I personally am my own best friend. I love my company. I think I'm freaking hilarious. Okay?
I do too. I love me too.
And I have no problem hanging out with myself because I know that I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to crack myself up. I'm going to go find something fun to do, and I'm okay with that. And the cool part of that is I know I can share that with others now. But it took me a while. It took me a while. I was one of those people that thought, I'm never going to be anything if I don't have a love in my life or this, that, and the other thing. And I had nothing to bring to the table until I figured out how to love me.
Oh, man, I can relate totally. And self-appreciation I don't think has ever come very difficult for me. Self-love was definitely an issue, particularly when I was younger, adolescent, teenager, early college age, that age group. And I think that's very common, around the ages of 13 to 21 in that ballpark. But I think, you know, one of the things that helped me more than anything is what Louise Hay calls mirror work. And I love her. I love her books, and You Can Heal Your Life is probably one of my favorites. But just standing in front of that mirror and seeing yourself and saying, making yourself, because you have to do it at first, make yourself say, I love you. And the more you do it, the more you realize, wow, that felt good.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I really do love me.
Yeah.
Hey, these are all the great things about me. They're the stuff to love. Yep. Here's the not so great things, but I still love me.
So it's interesting that you brought up that it seems to be a pretty common thing in early adolescence.
Yeah.
And for me, it's all about finding out why that is. It's not just about the hormones. It's not just about the changes. It's about.
I'm sure that contributes, though.
I'm sure it doesn't help the situation. But it's also about how the adults around us have portrayed what our lives are supposed to be and how they've made us see ourselves. You know, and isn't it amazing when a child grows up at 8 or 9 or 10 years old and absolutely loves itself and just is. Just this shining light when you look at them. And if you look at their parents, typically their parents are like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah, because we tend to reflect others in ourselves, and we reflect ourselves in other, because we're all one. And so frequently I've discovered that the qualities I admire in people, I can trace back to myself. But sometimes the qualities that I'm not pleased with in other people, I can do the same. There's a saying, you point one finger at somebody else, you're pointing three at yourself. You know?
Yeah.
But that also lets me know the areas I need to work on.
And that's a good thing, because that's coming in tune with the truths about yourself and really owning it, validating it, and saying, you know what, it's okay that I've been like this, because I now know I don't always have to be like this. Or I can find a way, if I don't like it, to change it.
So true. So true. Again, so true.
Yeah, if you keep denying it, you're never going to be able to change it. It's always going to be there for you.
Yeah, very, very much so. So tell me a little bit more about the book. We don't have a ton of time left, but I really do want to touch on the book really quick. I know, like you said, you've been meditating and getting these messages and collecting them. You put them together. And the book, how long has the book been out, first of all?
Actually, I published it at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
So not even a year yet. And I've been selling it pretty much through social media, a couple of local places back home. And then when I came out here, my dear friend Karen, who lives out here, had two copies of my book, and she had given a copy of it to the manager of Reader's World here in Lee's Summit, who immediately emailed me while I was still back east and asked me if I'd like to do a book signing. And, you know, I've been a retail manager for 30-something years, so I have no idea, but yeah, I'll do it, you know? Okay. And it blew my mind. I actually had a book signing in August at Reader's World, and I made some great contacts, met some great people, sold a few books. And I think what really got me at that point was when I was getting ready to leave, the young man who was running the store that day asked me to sign a copy of the poster so that they could hang it on the wall with the rest of the authors.
Wow.
And I froze because I'd had a book in my hands for 6 or 7 months at that point. All of a sudden, I was an author.
Wow.
I wasn't a retail manager anymore. I was something completely different. So the book itself, Truth or Inner Peace, it's a collection of thoughts, ideas, inspirations, stuff that has come to me through meditation, through conversations with other people, sometimes sitting on the dock by the lake fishing. Things just sort of were coming to me, and I started writing them down. And it's set up with no page numbers. It's really meant to just sort of open up and be inspired. Some people will read it all the way through. Some people will hold it in their hands and think about a problem that's in their life and then open it up to a random page and read the message that's there. I've had several people buy them for friends. I've got one gentleman that tells me he keeps it in his car. So anytime he has road rage, he just opens a page to remember that it's okay. I've had people leave them at the office and buy a second copy because the people at the office want to use it on stressful days. You know, it's been amazing for me. It's been really incredible, and it's great that it's actually helping people. It's just been incredible. And again, I never thought I had a book in me, and now I'm working on two more.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So tell us, how can we get the book? How can our listeners get a hold of the book?
Okay, well, there's a few different ways. They can call my business number directly. My business name is Alternative Pathways, and the phone number is 413-977-8971. I also have a website that is alternativepathways.biz, and I can also be reached on Facebook at facebook.com/alternativepathwaysrrr. That's three R's at the end of it. Stands for
R-R-R.
Readings. Yeah, it stands for Reiki Readings and Revealing the Truth, because the Alternative Pathways was already taken on Facebook. So
for a second, I thought you were just a fan of pirates.
No. not that I have anything against pirates. But or if people want to email me directly, they can reach out at brothermatthewgaines@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. And is this also how people can get a hold of you for truth coaching or for Reiki?
Yes, absolutely. Any of those ways I can be reached. Typically the business phone, the 413-977-8971 would be if you wanted to set up some sort of a session or something like that. And then the mail or Facebook or something would be better for ordering the book. I'm also working on some chakra kits that I'm developing that actually have original chakra music connected to them.
Wonderful.
With specific meditation. So it's all happening, and I'm hoping to have those ready for the event on the 16th when I do the talk
Yes, I was just getting ready to say you're going to be doing a workshop at the PRS Psychic Fair. We got to go to Mike real quick so he can tell us about what's coming up, but then we'll come right back so we can get in some last words about the workshop, okay?
Okay, yep.
All right, take it away, Mikey.
All right, coming up in just a few weeks, October 16th through the 18th, we have our annual Psychic Fair. That's down at the Howard Johnson at 1601 North Universal Ave in Kansas City. In November, we return to our normal monthly meetings. On the 14th, we have Robin Stevens with Feng Shui. And December 5th, we have our annual holiday dinner and awards ceremony. These will be at the 4700 Rainbow in Westwood, Kansas, the Westwood Community Center. As always, our members do get in for free. That's where our meetings end for the fair. And for our meetings, anyone can come for $5.
Wonderful. So let's talk just for a moment again about the workshop. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect from the workshop that you're going to be doing on the 16th at the PRS Psychic Fair.
Yeah, this kind of came out of the blue. I met up with actually at the book signing. Roberta stopped by and introduced herself and asked me to think about it. And she's been emailing me back and forth. And finally I said, well, if there's anybody in the world that can talk about himself for 2 hours, it's me. So I'll do it. And so we're going to do a workshop entitled Turning Inspiration into Action. And it's really about, it's combining the whole aspect of not only finding what the truths are for you, but those, everybody has those moments where they think, you know what, this would be a good idea, or you know what, I really want to do this someday, or you know what, I wish I had always, I don't know, learned to play piano, whatever it might be. And how do we take those thoughts, take those moments, take those little tiny glimmers of happiness and start creating actions to get us there?
Yes, wonderful. And I'm excited about that. I'm going to be reading, so I'm not going to be able to be myself at your workshop because I read all weekend long.
Yeah, no problem.
That's fair. But I am excited, and I'm definitely going to be sending people your way. So I wish you a blessed and wondrous fair, and I want to thank you so much for being my guest this evening. I've absolutely loved having this conversation with you.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel the same way, and I'm very, very grateful for everything.
Oh, you are so very, very welcome, and keep that wonderful attitude of gratitude going because it suits you very well, and it obviously is working for you.
Yeah, so far so good.
Yes, yes, indeed. Next week, guys, right here on Radio PRS, we have artist and intuitive Sapphire Moonbeam, and she is absolutely fabulous. You'll also be able to see her at the Psychic Fair. The following week on October 14th, we have Vanessa Knowles from the Hummingbird Healing Touch Institute. On October the 21st, we have Dr. Mark McFarland, chiropractor, talking to us about the iodine conspiracy. And I'm really excited about the next 2 weeks. October 28th, we have Wanda Chapel, numerologist, and November 4th, we have Christy Stuckey, who is an intuitive consultant, and she's absolutely fabulous. So everybody be sure to tune in. Thank you all, and have a fabulous night. Cue the music.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.